Good morning, and I am glad to see such a full house. And we were just talking about this yesterday. Finally, the weather did not impede this session. The last couple of years, we've had weather issues every year. So unless a drizzle bothers you, it didn't impede it. So I want to not only welcome you, I just mentioned the last several years. I was thinking about the last several years. And we have done, over the last several, every meeting like this has been about, let's talk about IBM's transformation. We talked about the market dynamics, the decisions we made. I even would remind you of a couple of the comments. You know, really a steadfast belief that this industry was going to reorder, that value would shift, and therefore we were going to reinvent our core franchises, and we were going to both invest, and we were going to build and scale what we now, and you know well, as strategic imperatives. So from the start, but now today, I should start this whole time, not only by thanking you for being here all day, but to tell you that we've really reached an important moment. There is a very solid foundation, and that foundation is now in place. And so IBM has emerged as a cognitive cloud, cognitive solutions, and cloud company. Cognitive solutions and cloud company. So Pat alluded to this when she set up the agenda. So very deliberate focus on the agenda in the format today. So for agenda, three themes we're going to focus on, and as usual, I want to cover them with you in my time together, even though we're going to have all day. The first theme, and I want to be really choiceful in my words, first theme is that we have built a unique and enduring cloud and cognitive platform, and I use the word platform, and that is Watson and the IBM Cloud, unique and enduring platform. The second theme is that with this platform, and I'll come to who, this platform enables really highly differentiated solutions. Highly differentiated solutions for ourselves, our clients, and an ecosystem. So all three we're going to talk about. And then the third point is about our, if you step back and you look at us in total now, our differentiation. Pat alluded to this when she described the agenda. Three words. Our differentiation, IBM in total. It's cognitive, it's cloud, and it's industry. So those are the three themes of the day, but also a comment on format. So you are going to see a lot of clients join us, not just in the demonstration, but they've been gracious enough to join for the day here. And there is a reason. There is so much hype in so many of these areas out there. I really want you to see and hear from clients. And challenge people, challenge others, challenge us to go see real clients with real outcomes. And that's what we're going to show, and that's really why we built the agenda that way. So with that said, you know, let me kick it off by covering each of those themes and some of the points I want to be sure that we get across and communicate to you. So the first one is about a unique and enduring cloud cognitive platform, IBM, IBM Cloud, and Watson. So maybe a comment on platforms, because many of you write about this. You know, we built several platforms, many actually, over our history. And if you just think back to the mainframe, it was many different products over time. I mean, whether it was the 360, 370, 390, whether it's gone on and been changed for Linux to blockchain, quite a long series. But there have always been two thoughts in the back of our mind about what a platform has to do. It has to protect a client's investment, and it needs to be able to embrace future innovation. So it's not a one-and-done product. It needs to have some way to keep expanding for innovation. So if you think of it that way, what it does is it makes it essential to clients. Some people could use the word very sticky. And that's why when you step back and you look at things like our banking industry, this is why 97% of the largest banks are on our platform. 90% of the airlines are on our platform. If you take a look at the top 10 insurers on our platform, the majority of every big retailer on the platform. And that's true not only when I say mainframe, I mean, we built the same kind of platform, many of you know it, if you look at middleware, or you look at technology services, our managed services with GTS. So today, when I said a unique and enduring platform, I want you to think about Watson and the IBM Cloud. It is an additional platform for IBM. It is an additional platform. So one couple characteristics of platform. Watson is the AI platform for business, and it will touch a billion clients by the end of the year. IBM Cloud, Enterprise Cloud, it's 17% of our revenues now. But I think even more interesting, and I I don't know if you've watched it. It is one architecture, and one architecture across that means scale and expansion, and it's one architecture with three differentiators. So let me quick hit on the differentiators, because I really believe they are important to both us as a company and to our clients. So the first one, so what would differentiate our platform from others? Watson and the IBM Cloud. First one is Watson itself. Now, there's some very interesting things, I think, about Watson itself. The first one is Watson is known and understands domains and industries. This is perhaps the most profound point. If you look at all the data in the world, 80% of it is not searchable by a public search engine. 80% of it is not public, it is not searchable. 80%. And therefore, if you're a consumer AI company, no problem. Get after the 20% for what you're doing for just your consumer work. And you can put that in one big public knowledge graph. That does not work for an enterprise client. This is their proprietary data, and it is their knowledge, and it's got a lot of value in it. So first off, it deals with that 80% in addition to the 20, but it's the 80 it's focused on. Second, trained by experts. Now, I mean, you wouldn't go to your tax guy for advice about medicine, right? Same idea. So trained by experts, but also unsupervised machine learning. That idea of industry, just even by itself, is singularly one of the most important differentiators. Second one is, though, it's embedded in a client's workflow. Back to an enduring, something that's enduring, embedded in your workflow. It does not come out. And it's why you get the most value. And then the third part about Watson is, there's a reason it runs on the IBM Cloud, and that's because the cloud has been built for cognitive workloads. And we're going to talk more about that today. What does that mean? It's been built, and a lot of the workloads of the future will be built that way. So first differentiator is Watson in this platform. Second differentiator is a data-first architecture. Now, I look around, and a lot of competitors are a search-first architecture. They're search. It was what they were built on. And if you're search, the value is in finding information and distributing it. People would say commoditizing it. Some would call that democratizing it. But we believe the real value, and more important, our clients believe the real value in their data is getting insights out of it so they can do something with them and they can make better decisions. So when I say data first architecture, there are two things that distinguish us from others. First, I'll use the word diversity and control. So data diversity. It's this idea that it's not just all different kinds of data, that's a for sure. But with cognitive, the value scales the more data you put in here and the more different types of data. So in this way, I want you to think of public, private, or proprietary licensed data. And this idea of multimodal data. So multimodal, you know, you've often heard us talk about natural language or sensors and this kind of thing. But think of it as your senses, so seeing, hearing, feeling, you know, bouncing, movement. And so Watson uniquely does all of those. You know, we've been training him on seeing. And this is not just seeing about a cat in a picture. This is about reading critical images. So we've done tens of millions, actually I think we're probably close to billions of images at this point. Listening, this ability to cross-reference data. So if you hadn't seen, or you've probably listened to it because it's a top, I don't know what they call it now, top of a chart, Alex da Kid, a producer, a song, It Ain't Easy. I mean, that was because it was correlation of what are the best performing lyrics and music to pull all of these things together. Went to the top of a chart faster than anything has ever done. And then feeling, this idea of motion, and it is by far the lead in pattern sensing in motion. So that's escalators, elevators, ball bearings, pull all that together. And you're going to see that with lots of what you're going to see with the clients today, the oil rig. You're going to get a sense of that. So that's this idea of multimodal. So that's what I mean by data diversity, but it's also this idea of data control. Every client I know, and you're going to meet many of them today, they are not going to put their data, proprietary data, out in the wild. You must do that with a number of our competitors. And again, targeted to the enterprise, we've uniquely done something around what I call data control. First, all the data has controlled access, so you decide who gets to it with our platform. You know its locality. So think about being transparent about where is the data, who's touching it, and what's it used for. But the third, to me, is the most profound. It's data isolation. So if I'm a client, I can assure you that this data does not get intermingled with someone else's. Your data is not training someone else's data. So if I had to sum it all up, I would say your insights are your insights. That is a huge deal if you're a client. So first differentiator is Watson. Second is this data-first architecture. And then third, back to it is an enterprise-strength cloud. So a couple key points about what I mean by enterprise-strength cloud. Strong public cloud, 50 centers, security, obviously Watson on it, but by industry. You're going to hear the health team talk about when the health cloud comes up, the health section's over here. They're going to talk about things like HIPAA compliant, GxP compliant, also with a quality management system. Nobody else has that. That's understanding what every industry. I think of who we're dealing with, the financial services guys on GDPR in Europe and what they have to have. This is why you see American Airlines, Kaiser, JP Morgan Chase, you see ABN AMRO, in fact, actually Maersk is here today. That's why they're on this cloud, our strong public cloud. So strong public cloud, part of being enterprise strength. Second is giving people choice and consistency. That means on-prem, dedicated, public. And then the third is this idea of your industrialized hybrid. Now, when I mean by industrialized hybrid, because these ideas have all matured and so have the capabilities, most people think of hybrid as connecting public and private together. But it's not just that simple, or just, I shouldn't say, that's not sufficient. Beyond just two clouds coming together, you have to connect the data and the applications, and that's industrialized hybrid. So this first point about, look, this is a unique platform. Watson and the IBM cloud, differentiated by Watson, differentiated by a data-first architecture, and differentiated by an enterprise-strength cloud. So that's really the first theme of the day you're going to see. Then the second one, it's going to be about this platform is now enabling clients to put in highly differentiated solutions, and they are scaling. Our own, our clients themselves, and then the ecosystem. So I was just finishing up our annual report. We just sent it off to the printer. And as I was doing my letter in the front section, you know, it is an interesting moment in time. It's a remarkable moment in time. I think you see these technologies, they're at the beginning of this era, but they are changing industries, professions, and it's because of this, right? And that's the work we're doing. So that's clear, but there's an underlying economic reason that I think is more important to share, and this is what we've been after. John introduced this a couple years ago, as I remember. But the economic argument, and we're seeing it play out over and over because we see the outcomes of these all the work with clients, is there's a $2 trillion market outside the $1 trillion IT market that is about making better decisions in a business. It is proven that, I'm sorry to tell you, all of us, one-third of our decisions are optimal, a third are okay, and a third, well, let's just say they could be wrong, potentially, okay? So that will show, it'll show over and over, business, personal, that's it, a third, a third, a third. So just think of how compelling that is, and this is what we see play out in the data. So when I said we built highly differentiated solutions, some we will build, but just some. I mean, we're gonna pick certain areas, and there's a vast amount to partner with. So the ones we've picked, let me make a couple comments on where we are in scaling what we've picked. Watson Health is a platform. Deborah will come up and give you an update again. 7,000 experts now, over 10,000 clients. The data that has been amassed, second only to a government, which is around, from, as you know, we did acquisitions of Truven, of Merge, of Fitel, of Exploris. But a vast ecosystem, some of which is here today with us. We spoke about oncology last year. We're going to talk about the other areas this year. Because this ecosystem's got providers, it's got government, it's got pharma, it's got the device fellas in there, healthcare companies, insurance companies. And the areas we chose to focus on, oncology, genomics, value-based care, life sciences, imaging. Now, a few different examples, and I don't know if anyone saw, did anybody see the 60 Minutes on Watson? It really wasn't on IBM, it was on, I'm glad the IBMers saw it, okay. So, I'd prefer investors to see it though. Okay, that would be, we can have a private showing in the back. If you hadn't seen it, I mean, I really believe it is worth watching. This was not us, it was, well, John is actually in it, so I shouldn't say it's not us, but it was really, they went out and worked with University of North Carolina Cancer Center. In this case, it's for Watson for genomics. But the key takeaway was they took 1,000 of the most difficult cases. Watson came up with exactly what the doctors came up with. Okay, you say, okay. But one-third of the cases, he found more clinically actionable insights. That's that one-third rule again. Isn't that interesting? One-third, it came out that way. The Barrow Neurological Center in Arizona, another one, where they've used Watson now. They do ALS. So looked at all the genes, rank ordered them, 1,500, and then produced the evidence on which order they could influence ALS. And towards the front, found five that had never been found before to infect it. Another is, you probably saw, I hope, the announcement with Quest Diagnostics. This will make Watson for oncology available to 70% of really virtually all patients in America, because the doctors it's available to Quest, service almost all of the patients of America that have oncology, that have cancer. So Quest and then Illumina will be including Watson for genomics in their next sequencer, the most, obviously, everyone knows Illumina, the most pervasive gene sequencer out there. So you'll get a feel more. Deborah will cover some of the new areas in healthcare, but it's scaling. Watson for Financial Services, since we met together, we've started. Bridget's gonna come up and talk about that. We've asked Bridget, she's got a great financial services background to run this. You know we have a strong basis as a company in financial services. One of the first areas is risk and compliance. Now, this is a case where a lot of data is public. In this case, we acquired Promontory, 600 experts. You ask any client, the world's best experts in this area. And they're helping train then Watson on that data. You think about this, 10% of a bank's operating expense goes to risk and compliance. So we're gonna focus first there. Blockchain pervades finance and other areas in fintech. Then the third area, Watson IoT. Now we're not gonna cover it here. We just did a big Watson IoT section last week actually, I think it was. And so, but thousands of experts now, over 6,000 clients, and remember the weather company. It is the basis of our IoT platform. It is the world's largest commercial ingestion platform for IoT data. A half a petabyte a day comes into that. And so I hope you've seen with Siemens partnering with us. So they'll use that information at our IoT platform for Watson to help them manage, as an example, 70,000 buildings that they manage. But lots of examples for this. And in fact, as I said last week, we opened one of the new buildings. The headquarters for IoT is in Munich. There in that building, 1,000 experts, but more interesting in that building is lots of clients co-locating. That's what we built it for. This is a world of collaboration. So you'll find BMW, BNP Paribas, lots of ecosystem partners, all working in there with us. So one, those are what we're focused on. Second category, clients. And we're gonna be, I'm really great, one of them is joining us. But you're gonna see very innovative solutions from clients themselves. H&R Block is one of them. I may have better luck with this if you didn't see 60 Minutes. Who watched the Super Bowl? Oh, no one? Oh, you're not telling the truth. Now I know I know what kind of audience I am dealing with. Okay, so Super Bowl advertising for H&R Block. They did a great advertisement. And their chief of strategy and marketing is here to talk about 70,000 agents using Watson to help every one of the 11 million taxpayers get more money. I'll let them tell the story about how that's turned out so far. And you'll hear from more clients, many of them in demonstration here. So ourselves, our clients, and then the ecosystem. Now, last night, if you hadn't read the papers or seen it in the news come out last night, one more ecosystem partner here. We announced the partnership with Salesforce. And that's on top of things like whether it was Slack, whether it's Twilio, a whole slew of them that we've had that will be taking Watson. Watson powering, in this case, powering behind Einstein here. And so ecosystem grows. You're seeing Watson embedded inside of some of the most important properties of the world. Mark's gonna join us via video and tell you about why he chose Watson, why he chose the IBM Cloud. And developers, you're gonna meet Bob Lord, who's running that for us. So developers are, we have millions of them from the enterprise, but it's entrepreneurs, and there is a new breed out there. Go into any bank, you'll find 500-600, and it's data scientists, all right? So what we are uniquely doing for that. So that's what I meant by highly differentiated solutions, but it's a broad, and you really should think of them as ourselves, our clients, and then this ecosystem. Then the third theme of the day is IBM's own differentiation in total, not just a platform, but in total. And that's where I said cognitive cloud industry. So you're gonna hear it repeated throughout the day. I hope not maybe hear repeated, but you're gonna feel it in everything you see. And so the first one is cognitive. So what do I mean about all of IBM? Because that's not just Watson. It is cognitive as a silver thread in everything that we do. So to us, AI is not a feature. It is fundamental to IBM. That means in the IBM systems team, you're going to hear and talk about, obviously, things like power. It is the best processor today and some of the great things the guys have planned for the future for cognitive workloads, because that's about what every workload's going to be. Global technology services, their use of cognitive and how they serve clients, how they use it for prediction, how they're using it for solving problems, how they're using it for automation. Martin Yetter will cover that. Global business services, cognitive process transformation. That is now a big piece of the business. And Mark is going to tell you more about that. And then our own company. You know, really, I think of IBM now as a cognitive enterprise, whether we use it across how we do procurement, how we do hiring, how we do audits, how we do and help our people sell, you will find a string of cognitive. In fact, the old days you would have said a globally integrated enterprise. Now I'd say everyone's trying to become a cognitive enterprise. There isn't a client I do more calls on, particularly in the area of HR, of what to do in this area. So one is Silver Thread cognitive. Then now step back and look at IBM Cloud for the Enterprise. Now I already covered this idea of public strength in public, choice and consistency. Already covered the idea about an industrialized hybrid. Obviously, Watson's on it, the vertical. So get ready. It's a platform. And just like we did with the mainframe, you are going to see things continue to come on that platform. So was it just 2 days ago we announced Quantum? And we've talked to Quantum and announced before. We put it in pilot. So Quantum, what we announced 2 days ago is IBM Q. It is the first commercial application of Quantum. Now, it is only available on the cloud. Does anyone know why this should only be available on the cloud? Would you guess? No? Yeah, okay, the guys who built it know. All right, so it is just a fun fact. It does operate at 1,000 times colder than outer space. Don't put it at home, okay? So it is going to operate that way, and it's one example. Arvind's going to talk more really about the impact of what Quantum means, but we are the first to have it commercially available on the platform. But the other one is blockchain, and we talked about this, and I remember the question from some of you last year on blockchain. Look, this is continuing. We are at 400 engagements with clients, and this idea, and here's a way I would like to summarize it, to kind of get across the impact of blockchain. I think blockchain will do for trusted transactions what the internet did for information. So blockchain for trusted transactions, what the internet did for information. So if you allow me to digress, I want to do 2 minutes on blockchain, share a couple thoughts. Because I am not talking about Bitcoin. I am not talking about an anonymous cyber currency of any kind. I am talking about the technology that underlies it, which simply put, and how we not only see it, feel it, it's what we're doing with clients, it allows the efficient exchange of about anything. Value, is our calculation, is in hundreds of billions of value. Now, for that to work, and if you think about the internet and just go back a little bit in history, you had to have some global open standards, governance, and protocols, right? I kind of think of it as how do you get all the railroads to connect here? And so that's where you hear this word about fabrics emerging. And one is Hyperledger, and this is what we are supporting. It's in open source. It actually is the Linux Foundation's fastest growing ever project. It is Hyperledger. And that is that fabric with big open governance built for the enterprise. We are one, but we are not. There's over 100, so, oh my goodness, I think it's now verging on 125, 130 members of this. Largest, fastest growing. But you will find all the banks, ABN AMRO, Bank of Mellon New York, JP Morgan Chase, State Street, Swift, Wells Fargo, Daimler, Amex. It's a very long, you can go get the list, a very long list. And that's because it's the most advanced, fastest growing, and it's got the most robust governance, right? Can't be owned by one person. I mean, that's really what the internet did, right? It was a big consortium there. And then last week, I saw added Bank of England, Fed Reserve, Kaiser Permanente. There's probably 7 or 8 others, again, added last week. So it is all about using blockchain for practical applications. I think maybe, Martin, last year, you talked about we put up our own IBM Global Finance. GTS is using it. But to be practical, it has to be able to scale. So go ask. Someone like Ethereum, they know how to scale 15 transactions a second. We know how to scale 10,000. So if you want to put this to real work, it's got to be with that kind of scale. And that's why an announcement like DTCC, Those of you that you may not know them by DTCC, they are who does the $11 trillion of credit derivatives. All right, that is who runs that $11 trillion market. Open Ledger, Hyperledger, with the Linux Open Foundation, with us. And this is a project that's it's Barclays, it's Citi, it's Credit Suisse, it's Wells Fargo, it's Deutsche, JPMC, UBS. We are doing that work. Or you look at Walmart. So kind of not financial, go the other way. Fantastic use for it is food safety. So this is about pork in China, and some of you may remember there were some issues to be addressed there. So it's being able to track pork from wherever pork starts all the way through to wherever you buy it, okay? I'm not quite sure how to characterize that. And so that's food safety. But you can picture that, any kind of provenance of anything. And then Maersk. Maersk's big announcement was yesterday. And Maersk is a global cross-border supply chain. It's actually the industry first, shipping and logistics for the whole industry. And what Maersk is, and Maersk is here to talk about it today, it's going to be an example of what these networks show up and look like in the blockchain area. And these are going to be fast-growing with many players inside of them. And by the way, all of these are based on Hyperledger, all right? So you want to do serious business, and Arvind and both Bridget will talk a little bit, it's got to be permissioned. You've got to have this kind of governance in here. Because when serious work is done on this, permissioned allows different people, including central banks, to see what is the appropriate things they should see. So I just digressed for a second because both whether it's quantum or whether it's blockchain, when I say cloud for the enterprise, it is the platform we are going to continue to put these things on. And then I would also remind you, GTS, my goodness, their managed services for the hybrid cloud and for the cloud grew 50% last year. So you see it right there. So cognitive cloud, and then the last part is industry. So industry, kind of reflect back to where I started in my comments about Watson. Really knowing industries. Look, to get value of all of this new era, it's going to be building industry businesses. You have to have industry data, and you know that varies by industry, what you need, but that's what we've been very focused on. You need industry experts, all right? So whether that's for us is health, whether it's risk and compliance, whether it's engineers in IoT, but more than anything, and this is I really want to punctuate, and this is what makes us different, you better understand the workflow, or you will never get the value out of this. And that, unlike our competitors, in many cases, we have global business services. Because I can see it in Watson. In the lots of Watsons that go right engagements, and in the number, a couple ones that don't, it's because the workflow wasn't changed. They didn't understand how to change the way work was done. It is a key piece. And so this industry dimension, you need it to run the systems of the world, to change the fundamental way the world works, and you need it to go after that $2 trillion. And nobody else, many of the others we compete with, don't have it. So that's why today, I mean, I feel really good. IBM's a cognitive solutions and cloud platform company. And like I said, I'm going to repeat myself, unique enduring platform, Watson and the IBM cloud. Differentiated solutions, us clients' ecosystem. And all of IBM now is underpinned by that differentiation of cloud, of cognitive, and of industry. So before I move to the next piece, I kind of pause there. And something else, so that's what we want to be sure that we communicate. But let me also do one last thing. I did this the last couple years, and I think it's feedback worked out well. You have questions. And so I know what many of them are, because I do meet with many investors, obviously, through the year. So I thought I'd start with just kind of the five top questions and very quickly go through some of the key points we'd make about them. So I picked a question on, and of course, since I'm talking, I get to word the questions. So I thought about one, which would be, so how should we think about IBM's revenue growth? And so I'd make a couple comments. One, I am absolutely confident IBM will return to growth. Second point, you have seen the rapid growth of our strategic imperatives over the past several years. Remember, we had two goals, 40 billion and greater than 40% of IBM by 2018. We have surpassed the greater than 40%, all right, so ahead of track. And we expect double-digit growth to continue. We will continue to innovate on our core. I mean, the core businesses we are in are critical. We are in those businesses for good reasons. And the last comment I'd make is that just remember, for us, it has always been about high value growth. So it's why we divest of things, even if they're fast growing, and it's why we focus on new areas where we know, as an example, the strategic imperatives have greater margin, right? They have greater margin than our core businesses do. All right, Next one. I know, question would be, how should you think about IBM's profit margins? So a couple. I just kind of repeat the point, our business model is high value, point one. But implicit in our 2017 guidance is PTI expansion and margin expansion. And again, I go back to that comment I just made. You think about as we scale those strategic imperatives, their margin is greater than the core. Okay, third one, we'll see how good I am at reading your minds. And what should you think about GBS, Global Business Services? So first one, as I was kind of wrapping up our differentiators, look, GBS, it could not be more critical to our strategy because of obviously the importance of industry and the importance of workflow in changing how the world works, going after that $2 trillion for our clients. But you also know we have been going through a transformation, we had a big piece of consulting work in the traditional ERP area into new practices. Those shifts take time because it's people's skills. You are going to meet Mark Foster. There was without a doubt, Mark was the preeminent consulting leader in the entire world who chose to join us. And now he's going to talk about how he accelerates, and there's some structure things he's changing that it's going to accelerate that part of the consulting to take off. Okay, third question. A little preamble maybe I thought about to this, that since Watson won Jeopardy, look, everybody's announced AI. There's like a land rush. Everybody's announced AI of some kind. So how much of a lead does Watson have? Well, as I said, part of this is just look at the facts. It is the AI platform for business, 1 billion by the end of this year, touching 1 billion people some way by the end of this year. But if you allow me just to reiterate, do not underestimate this point about industry and domain. 80% of that data is not out in the wild. That's what we're getting the value for clients with. And the second part, do not underestimate data control. There is not a client I know that doesn't now want to protect their insights. Their insights are their insights. They have seen how that movie otherwise ends. Now, when it comes to the future, I also make no bones about this. We are relentless that we will stay number one. Arvind has 1/3 of IBM research dedicated to all the future part of AI and cognitive here. And when it comes to deployment, not only is it touching 1 billion people, I think we stand alone. It's 45 countries, 20 industries. Not to mention things like reach that you'll see with Mark Benioff later today. So I would just encourage you, when others are talking, press, just like we're bringing lots of people here, press to see the real outcomes in the real work. Okay, then last question I thought about, which was, all along we've talked to you about hybrid cloud and public cloud. Others have only talked about public. Although all of a sudden now, last year you saw this shift to hybrid in their discussions. So I kind of picked a question on, so what would I share about what our perspective is on cloud and where is it going? Now what I would say is, first off, we have built a world-class public cloud. I already covered, AI, data first, got AI on it, built for industry. But it is also why, and you're gonna see David Kenny, we've asked David, David is now gonna put Watson and the public cloud together. All right, so David, you'll take over and talk about that. Hybrid, we have always focused on. Arvind is running that for us now. And you're going to hear, because in why hybrid and why have we been on it from the beginning? For all our clients, it's a reality. They have got to leverage their proprietary data. They won't move it all. They won't move all their systems. They won't move those business processes. And some it's economic reasons. Others, there's other kinds of reasons they have. So I think that's why now, as I phrase my own question, it's why now you see others starting to talk about hybrid and come around. So I hope I covered a lot of ground to set the foundation for today, because you're going to spend a long day with us, which we very much appreciate. So let me end by saying how much we appreciate it. And in that old saying that a picture tells 1,000 words, I'm going to put a picture up here, and I'm going to have Martin come up, because it's going to really serve as a guide throughout the day. Martin's presentation, too, because this is now IBM. So, Martin,
yep.
Come on up. Help me down.
All right. Good morning, everyone. And as Ginny said, we do appreciate the time you're going to give us today, and us obviously thank you to our clients as well who are going to join us. I'm only going to spend like 1 minute just talking about this graphic because it's important, and as Ginny said, we're going to use it throughout the day. I'm going to use it as well in my discussion. But it's important because it is a really good depiction of what IBM has become. We couldn't have drawn this picture 3 years ago. We couldn't. We've made a lot of investments since then. So it's a good picture for a few reasons. First, as Ginny said, we have emerged as a cognitive solutions and cloud platform company. And you can see the way we've built this chart. Obviously, the IBM cloud sits in the middle of all of that. But it's a good description also of how we view the value in this business model and how important industry is. And you can see the industry dimension that runs across this. It's also a good depiction because while 3 years ago you would have said, if I look at that bottom, that systems piece, or if I look at the hybrid software that sits on the bottom, or if I look at the services bars, you would have said, that's what IBM does. IBM has a services business, IBM has a software and a hardware business. And it's true, and that's what enabled us to compete and to win for so long in what Ginny identified, that $1 trillion enterprise IT market. Now, we put things in and we took things out, always focused on value, but for up until a few years ago, before we started this journey, that was where we played. Those other vertical bars now, where we've added and built out the IBM cloud, where we've added Watson into that ecosystem. Those other industry elements to it is what now IBM emerges as. And so that's the piece that allows us to not only go after the $1 trillion that we've been winning in for the last decades, this is now the piece that allows us to go after the other $2 trillion that Ginny identified. So again, we flashed it up to get your kind of head around what IBM has emerged as. Each of us is now going to talk about different pieces of this. As both Patricia and Ginny noted, I'm going to come up at the end and put it all back together into a financial construct and into the construct that we introduced last year when we introduced new segments. So with this as a little bit of a backdrop, again, with IBM now emerging as a cognitive solutions and cloud platform company with a strong, strong point of view, belief, knowledge that industry is really important, I'm going to introduce my colleague, John Kelly, Dr. John Kelly, to take it from here.
Okay, thanks, Martin.